from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Hey there, you're listening to The Voice of Indonesia on voanews.id, application RRI Digital, and the frequencies 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. I'm Steve, and today we'll have a lot of things coming from Indonesia. Here's the news first, the headlines. President Prabowo discussed plans to establish 10 medical and science universities. Indonesian government removed import charges on LPG, and here is the news in detail. Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto received a delegation from Imperial College London at Merdeka Palace in Jakarta on Monday. The meeting discussed plans for strategic cooperation aimed at improving the quality of higher education in Indonesia, particularly in the fields of medicine and science. Minister of Higher Education, Science and Technology Brian Yuliarto, who accompanied the President during the meeting, said the cooperation with Imperial College London would form part of the government's efforts to strengthen Indonesia's education and research ecosystem.
So far, we have discussed many aspects of our plan to build a strategic partnership with Imperial College to enhance the quality of education in Indonesia, particularly medical education, while also remaining open to cooperation in other fields.
He also said President Prabowo discussed plans to establish 10 medical and science universities in Indonesia. He noted that Imperial College London would support the development of these institutions through curriculum enhancement, preparation of teaching standards, joint research programs, and the involvement of international visiting professors. The minister described the partnership with Imperial College London as a strategic step toward advancing the quality of higher education in the country. He expressed hope that the collaboration would serve as a catalyst for improving national education and research, while accelerating the development of a new generation of Indonesian doctors, scientists, and researchers capable of competing on the global stage. Indonesian Ministry of Health, in collaboration with the international medical journal The Lancet, launched a special commission titled The Lancet Regional Health Western Pacific Reimagining Healthcare in Indonesia for 2045, in Jakarta on Monday, June 22. The commission aims to redesign Indonesia's healthcare system with the primary goal of increasing access to quality services even in remote areas. Health Minister Budi Gunadi Sadikin stated that the commission is expected to support the four strategic pillars that underpin the country's 2045 vision. The four pillars include increasing life expectancy, extending healthy life expectancy, encompassing universal health coverage, and controlling the total birth rate.
We would like to increase the average healthy life from 60 to 65. Fertility rate. The third target is the Universal Health Coverage Service Coverage Index.
The Lancet Regional Health Western Pacific is an international scientific health journal focusing on public health issues, health systems, and medical research in the Western Pacific region, including Indonesia, Australia, China, Japan, and other Pacific countries. The Commission will utilize various research methods to develop a roadmap for health transformation towards Indonesia MAS or Golden Indonesia 2045. Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto departed for East Java today to inaugurate more than 1,100 kilometers of road across the country. According to Presidential Secretariat, the President is scheduled to inaugurate road sections that are part of a presidential directive, which this time is focused on supporting food and energy self-sufficiency. It stated that these roads were built to improve connectivity between regions, promote regional economic growth, and facilitate the distribution of goods and services. Indonesian government has announced a new economic stimulus package which reduces import tariff on three key industrial commodities, LPG, plastic raw materials, and aircraft parts, to 0%. The policy aims to protect the domestic economy from global uncertainty, curb inflation, and boost growth in Indonesia's industrial sectors. Putri Cahayapurnama has the detail.
Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Airlangga Hartarto officially launched the economic stimulus package for the second half of 2026. This strategic move, announced at a press conference in Jakarta on Monday, June 22, was carried out under direct orders from President Prabowo Subianto to strengthen the country's economic resilience.
Arahan Bapak Presiden dengan ketidakpastian situasi, maka
following the President's directive, given the uncertain situation, the government is providing incentives for the import of LPG and plastic raw materials. The government has set a 0% import duty on LPG for the petrochemical industry.
The tariff-free import of LPG is expected to save Indonesian industries more than 2 trillion rupiah in operating costs. In addition, the government estimates that cheaper plastic raw materials will help curb domestic inflation. Furthermore, the government has also reduced import tariffs on aircraft parts to 0%. This measure is designed to support the regional aviation industry and boost the aircraft maintenance, repair, and overhaul or MRO sector in Indonesia.
Dan selanjutnya pemerintah juga terus mendorong untuk import.
Furthermore, the government continues to support the import of aircraft parts. The import tariffs have been reduced to 0% to boost the aviation industry and the MRO sector, thereby enhancing the competitiveness of the MRO industry.
Besides heavy industry, this semester's economic stimulus package also includes social assistance and support for local businesses. The government has also allocated funds for national vocational internships and public transportation discounts during major holiday seasons. Putri Cahaya Purnama, Voice of Indonesia.
The Ministry of Communication and Digital, along with Japan International Cooperation Agency, or JICA, strengthened cooperation in artificial intelligence talent development through designing of the discussion record of the Next Generation AI Talent Factory Technical Cooperation Project in Jakarta on Monday. Deputy Minister of Communication and Digital Nezar Patria said the cooperation is a strategic step to enhance Indonesia's AI talent capacity while deepening the partnership between Indonesia and Japan in digital transformation. He affirmed that the development of sovereign and beneficial AI for society is a priority for both countries amid the rapid technological advancements and global dynamics. The program, which has been running since 2025, has produced various AI solutions to support child protection in digital space, misinformation handling, strengthening people's schools, poverty mapping, social assistance distribution, and analysis of public and social media issues. Listener, that was the news from the Voice of Indonesia. And coming up next is commentary titled Global Cooperation for Quality Education in Indonesia by Anand Trijayakasih.
Indonesia still faces challenges in improving the quality of higher education, particularly in the fields of medicine and science. Amidst increasingly rapid global development, Indonesia needs more doctors, scientists, and researchers capable of competing globally. Therefore, strengthening education and research is a crucial need to meet future demands. The planned collaboration between the Indonesian government and Imperial College London is a positive step. During a meeting with President Prabowo Subianto, support for the development of medical and science universities in Indonesia was discussed. This collaboration includes curriculum development, improving teaching standards, joint research, and the presence of visiting professors from abroad. This step demonstrates a commitment to strengthening the quality of national education while expanding access to international education standards. This collaboration can be a significant investment in Indonesia's future. Higher quality education will help produce superior human resources ready to face global challenges. If implemented consistently and sustainably, This collaboration has the potential to create a generation of Indonesian doctors, scientists, and researchers capable of contributing not only to the nation's progress, but also to the global community. That was commentary.
Thank you. Soccer Fiesta.
Did you know that throughout the history of the World Cup, there have always been iconic celebrations? Here are three of them. First, David Beckham in 2002. He scored a penalty against Argentina and celebrated by kissing the England badge, a truly emotional moment of redemption. Then, there is Robbie Keane in 2002. His celebration was simple but iconic. He pretended to be Robin Hood, starting with a cartwheel and then mimicking pulling a bow and arrow. Simple, but very memorable. Lastly, Bebeto in 1994. After scoring, he celebrated as if he were rocking a baby. It turned out he had just welcomed a child. So it wasn't just about football, but also personal happiness.
Soccer Fiesta.
When I'm with you, the stars are running through my head. I wanna tell you, but I don't know how this would end. Wish I could help it, I'm bored and it's just not the same. And maybe I'm to blame. I know we're stuff, I've had enough of always running round, please, yeah. I'm giving up, this isn't love. Honestly, think it's time to leave. Cause I've been searching for something new. Cross that ocean, forget this view. Just trying to be honest, I got no time to lose. So I've been searching for something new.
Makes perfect, but I don't know if we're calls. Believing and learning, we gotta find what we want. Too bad I thought we could have had it all. Keep waiting for something I've been missing all along.
I know it's tough, I had enough of always running round, please, yeah. I'm giving up, this isn't love. Honestly, think it's time to leave.
Listener, because the whole world is enjoying a very nice football festivity. In a moment, we'll be listening to the Soccer Fiesta, and this time you'll be listening to Nuku Kusumawati with the Chart the Fears of Austrian Embassy Jakarta, Michael Was Lucky.
Hello, VI listener. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Of course, you are still in Soccer Fiesta. And our Soccer Fiesta's guest for today, we have an honorable guest, the Charge d'Affaires of Austria Embassy to Indonesia. We have Michael Wyszloszki. I have to say that fast. Yes. How are you, Michael?
Excellent. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. So, Michael, as we all know, Austria and Argentina just have a match. And it's not really pleasant result, I believe, for you. But what do you think about the match? What's missing from the Austrian team?
Thank you so much, first of all, for the question. I don't think there's anything missing. I think our Burschen, as we call them, the team, have been playing a great game, have been showing a lot of, you know, combative spirit and really tried their best. But we played against Argentina, we played against Messi. I think for most of the team members, this was really, you know, one of the games of their life, to play against Argentina, against this Argentina, against the reigning world champion. And I think I take two pieces of solace from this. One is that we were not beaten as heavily as Algeria.
Okay.
And second, that Messi moved to the, you know, all-time scorer with Austria, with our game. And you know, the odds were not so bad. They played a good game. And I think the last game against Algeria has a lot of promise. So nothing is lost yet. And there is still hope for Austria.
Well, you're still in runner-up, right?
Exactly.
On the group. So it doesn't matter. But for the next game that you're going to have with Algeria, if I'm not mistaken, is that right?
Exactly.
Algeria. What exactly is your expectation for the next match with Algeria? Are you going to have a full point win?
We certainly hope so, and we think we can do it. We won against Jordan 3-1, and that would be my expectation against Algeria as well, to win. A draw would also be still okay, probably, to move to the next phase.
Mm-hmm. Well, the coach is actually Ralf Rangnick. Did I say that name right?
Rangnick, yes.
Rangnick. Okay, he was actually using a high press and also aggressive team for the Austrian team this year. And can that style also work for the next round, if we can make it to the next round, of course? Are you sure that we can make it to the next round?
Yes, absolutely. I think Ralf has to be credited with, you know, bringing back energy and hope to the Austrian national team. He has, you know, reworked it from the start from 2022, and has brought us back to the top league of world football. And this, especially as you said, this aggressive pressing style is something that works well, and that can help us against other teams.
It's Austrian team style, right? But if you were meeting the team that has a slower movement, did you also still use the same style to get into the game?
Yes, because that's how the Austrian team now plays. It's not about individual players. We have great individual players, but it's all about the team, and they work well together. And I think we can reach the next level, or maybe they won't.
Yes. We were talking about players. We have David Alba, and there's also Marko Arnautovic, right?
Exactly.
And Is this the core that can get Austria to the semi-final? And is there any unique way to celebrate when you get into the final, like a traditional unique way in Austria?
Yeah. Well, as you said, you have Marko Arnautovic, you have David Alaba, also Marcel Sabitzer and others. I think it's a great team, a great mix of experienced players who have been playing many games also already for Austria, and young players. So they are doing great. Already yesterday, I mean, the game against Argentina was in the evening in Austria. So it was one of the few games that was at a good time. And apparently all of the public spaces were full with people. There were huge public viewings. Already the first game against Jordan, which was at 6 in the morning, I think, Austrian time, we had 1.2 million people tuning in to watch it. Now that was a game that was, you know, at a good time after work. So now people really celebrated it. As I said, it's a great source of pride for us, national pride, the national team. And if we move to the next round, that would be really something. It's a first time playing at the World Cup since 28 years. Many people of my generation, you know, don't remember it. The last time, we have a great football past. We finished third in 1954. The Austrian national team has been ranked, number one in the 1930s. It was called the Wunder team at the time.
Yeah.
So we have a great football past, and I think after a long, you know, hiatus, we are coming back to that form.
Yeah, it is actually. Is this the best form? Did you think from the last one?
Well, the Austrian team is certainly now in the best form they had for 30 years.
Yeah, wow. And we also have, like, if I'm wrong mentioning the name, correct me, okay? We have Baumgartner.
Baumgartner, yes.
Baumgartner. And Wimmer.
Wimmer.
Seewald.
Seewald.
Prass.
Prass.
They are actually rising so fast here in the World Cup. Not only on the World Cup, like UEFA in Europe, right?
Yes.
At that time. But who's the next Austrian star that can be rising in the World Cup?
Yeah, I think Marcel Sabitzer, he has a lot of promise. He's not, he's already an established player, but those players will make a mark in the next years for sure.
Yeah, so of course, how important is the role of the 12th man of the Austrian in the team?
Well, as I told you, like, we are crazy about football. Yeah. It's even before skiing, which is not a national sport, every Austrian is crazy about football, and we had 1.2 million people tuning in. We have all the public spaces are full with people. Every restaurant has a TV screen. Everybody is rooting. Even people who are not interested in football are rooting for the team. So that's really something that is uniting us this summer, and that is carrying, I think, the team. Mm-hmm. There have been thousands of people traveling to the US
yeah.
to support the team in the games, really far away.
Them red.
Yes, exactly. And I think they have this nice tradition of making a march towards the stadium and chanting and singing songs. So it's Austrian fans are making a good spectacle. So
that's interesting. What exactly did you sing to support the team?
We have, Immer wieder Österreich. That's like a chant that you're chanting recurrently. That means forever Austria. And then there is an Austropop song, I Am From Austria, which is the unofficial anthem of Austria, from Reinhard Fendrich.
Unofficial?
Well, we have the official anthem.
Okay.
And then when we play football, people would sing this song.
So it means that everybody knows this song.
Everybody knows this song.
They
exactly.
watch football.
Exactly.
Oh, wow, wow, wow. Okay. It's really interesting. It's really amazing, you know, looking back from the history of the Austrian team itself. They have like begin to get into the World Cup since 1984, right? 1984 and 1973, if I'm not mistaken. And then there's also 1998 is the best time.
Dude.
Because in Europe, Austria also gained third place and in fourth place 2 years or 3 years ago. Am I right?
Yeah, so the football arrived in Austria a long time ago, like 115 years ago, I think, with the Brits. And we joined the World Federation of Football like 1 year after it was established in 1905.
1905.
Yeah, so it's a long tradition of football and Austrians have been football mad ever since. And historically, as I said, our greatest times were the 1930s. When we dominated football worldwide. So we went on unbeaten for, I think, 14 or 15 games. We played against all the great teams at the time. And there was Matthias Sindelar, who was called the Mozart of football.
Yeah.
So he was really something. He established himself in the, you know, pantheon of Austrian heroes.
Yes.
And then our greatest achievement at the World Cup level was 1954 against Switzerland.
Right.
Yeah, we won, we got a third place and it was the highest scoring game in a football World Cup. We won 7-5 against Switzerland. And then that's, you know, this is relationship with a neighbor, Germany. We beat Germany in 1978, 3-2.
And 3-2.
3-2, exactly. And that is in Austrian folklore. It's called the Miracle of Cordoba. So they were playing in Argentina at the time, in the city of Cordoba.
Okay.
And Austria beat the reigning world champion, Germany, 3-2. And this has been a cornerstone of, you know, Austrian pride and identity ever since.
Still pride for the Austrian people, of course, great until practice. Today, right?
Yes, yes. But I think now, you know, these are achievements of the past. And I think now the current team is on track to, you know, to make us proud again and to achieve great things now in the present.
Your expectation here right now, this year for Austrian team, get into the final?
I think quarterfinals would be really a great achievement.
Quarterfinal. Oh, okay. How come? With whom, if I can ask you, who is the best four teams that can go to the semifinals in the World Cup?
Well, as we have seen Argentina with Messi, I think they have great chances. France, the Germans, you can never discount the Germans.
Yes.
And Spain, I would say.
And Spain.
Yes.
Why there's no Austria?
Well, we're speaking about the semifinals. I said quarterfinals
well,
for Austria.
Only one, only quarterfinal. You should be... okay. How optimistic are you to get into the quarterfinals and then... Who knows, probably, right? Because as we all know that World Cup this year is really amazing, you know.
Yes.
All the underdog teams are actually going up really fast. It's a surprise. Big surprise. It's unpredictable. But would you have, do you have that kind of optimism to get into this final or semifinal?
I will certainly root for Austria, and it would make me extremely proud if they would make it to the semifinal or final. And let's hope. Let's see that the next game against Algeria will be a win.
Yes. And, get the full points.
Full points. And let's see. But, you know, this is Austrian men's football. We also have the women, which are playing great, during the time that the Austrian men have not been at the global stage so visible, the women were rising fast. And they managed to reach the semifinals and quarterfinals in the European Championship in the 2010s. And so women football is also up and coming. And our juniors are playing great. I think they reached the finals in the last junior.
Oh, the under 19 or under 17?
Under 21, I think.
Oh, under the under 21. Yes. Yeah, we lost that one.
Yeah. So there is, you know, there is a great promise both in men's football but also women's football in Austria.
Yes, it's good. It's really good, actually, because I just found out, actually, because there's so many football, women football team in Europe right now are competing each other, right? Exactly just like the men's club, just men's football. So it's like here in Indonesia, we also have a women team, but we are not so popular. The women team is not so popular. How did you raise the awareness for the Austrian people that actually you also have like a women football team to be supported?
You know, I think there are very conscious policy decisions about allowing more screening time, for instance, in television for women team, about raising awareness as politicians. It's been a process, but today I think when the Austrian women play football, we root for them, we are very proud of them, and what's great is to see that they are now a great inspiration for also girls who want to play football, and my daughter, for instance, she is absolutely crazy about football as well. So
nice. Is she gonna be? Did you support her to be a football player?
Yes.
Okay. Reason why?
Well, football is a great sport. It's a beautiful game. So, so let's see. It's I think Austrian women's football has also great promise, maybe also there we can reach the final sometimes.
Yeah. Okay, Michael. Thank you very much for your time. Thank you very much for your time, and hopefully Austria will be successful here in the World Cup. Okay.
Terima kasih. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, well, listeners, that was our Soccer Fiesta for today. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. I'll see you again in the next Soccer Fiesta.
What is the best way to stop bullying at school? One might demand the bully to be punished, but is it enough, or do we need something more fundamental? Here is the opinion of a psychologist at the Faculty of Psychology, Universitas Negeri Jakarta, Dr. Zarina Akbar.
Yeah, I think the most important things in here is like shifting paradigm. But shifting paradigm from punishment-based approach to preventive relationship-based system approach. Mostly, school, when they got information or they got a report about bullying happens to their school, the first reaction in here is by punishing the bully, right? Punishing the bully.
Yes.
Give a punishment to the perpetrators, right?
Yeah.
Is it work? Is it work? Maybe it works, but it's just for a while. Why? Because it doesn't change the culture. It doesn't change the aggressive behavior. It doesn't address the preparators or the bully emotional needs in here. It doesn't support victims in long term, right? So I think shifting paradigm from the punishment to become preventive relation in here is very important. How school in here to build a proactive, holistic school, positive school climate that focusing on empathy, emotional skill, trust, consistent supervision in here, a safe culture in the school, strengthening the mental health support in school is very, very the most important things in here. So it becomes, we give the build proactive and holistic emotional psychosocial skill to our children in school. I think that's the urgent change school needs to make to prevent bullying happened or to reduce the bullying happens at school.
You can listen to the full VOI talk on our YouTube channel, VOI Official.
Rasa yang ada Voice of Indonesia.
Every region in Indonesia has its traditional dances. Like in Belu, Timor, East Nusa Tenggara province, this district has abundant cultural wealth, especially in arts and customs. Among others, Likurai, which is one of the oldest dances performed by the majority of Belu society. Literally, the word Likurai comes from two syllables, Liku and Rai. Liku means mastering and Rai means earth. So, this dance means to rule the earth. There are, however, different views on the meaning of Likurai. According to a Belu customs and tradition figure, Ignatius Kalimau, Likurai in Tetum language is interpreted as Teberai. Following is his statement.
In Tetum, it is Likurai. In Bunak, it is Teberai. Teberai dance was held when Sun warriors went to a tribal war to take home the enemy's head.
Additionally, in Belu, the word Likurai consists of two syllables, namely Liku and Rai. Each has its own different meaning. Liku means to see or to serve, and Rai means land or earth, as stated by Pius Fahik as a cultural figure from Belu.
Kata Likurai sebenarnya mempunyai dua suku kata.
The word Likurai has two syllables, namely Liku and Rai. Each has its own different meaning. Liku means to see or to serve, and Rai means land or ground. So Likurai actually means to serve or refer to the earth.
Oleh karena itu, kata Likurai sebenarnya dia berarti melayani.
Likurai dance was once a war dance performed to greet or meet the heroes returning from the battlefield with the head of the enemy, beheaded as a proof of courage. Then the women or feto will welcome the heroes or MEO. With this Likurai dance and accompanied by some men or mane who dance or haksoke carrying a sword, as explained by Pius Fahik.
Tarian Likurai ini sebenarnya pada zaman dulu dijadikan sebagai satu tarian.
Likurai dance actually in the past was used to welcome the heroes and as a service. Basically, it is a dance that serves the land, for it is believed that the land is the source of light for humans. Therefore, Likurai was performed to serve the land as a tribute. In its development, Likurai dance was also used as a welcome dance for heroes returning from the battlefield. The warriors brought back some silver heads of the enemies from the battlefield as proof of their victory. So upon returning, the heroes were greeted with Likurai dance.
Dan setelah para pahlawan itu kembali, para pahlawan tersebut disambut dengan tarian Likurai tersebut.
Likurai dance is performed by a group of women while beating tihar or drums inserted in their armpits. The dance begins with the beating of the tihar by one of the dancers, followed by other dancers. When harmonious rhythm has been achieved, when they will start to move their bodies to the left and to the right, sometimes squatting in a specific formation. The male dancers will stomp with bells on their feet, holding up a sword. Then they begin reciting poems interspersed by war or victory shrieks. The beating of the tihar then is increasingly fast and hard, as well as the movements of the dancers. Sometimes the dancers will simultaneously stop moving, causing spontaneous silence. In general, this dance looks beautiful, energetic, and can to evoke chilling experience, especially if imagining the human heads, which said to be moved about between the legs of the dancer's feet.
Likurai dance has its own uniqueness as disclosed by Pius, the Belu cultural figure, who said that both the dancer and the musician become one.
Tarian Likurai ini merupakan satu tarian khas yang mempunyai keunikan.
Likurai dance has a unique characteristic. In most other dances, the dancers are separated from the musicians. So while the musicians are playing the musical instruments elsewhere, the dancers are on the stage or other preferred place, while Likurai is unique for the fact that a dancer at the same time also becomes a musician.
Similarly, it was also expressed by John Atiluan, an observer of culture. According to him, Likurai is unique.
Likurai itu alat musik yang unik.
Likurai musical instrument is unique. If in Belu, Likurai is struck by a woman while dancing. Well, this is a really unique.
Meanwhile, according to the head of the Department of Culture and Tourism, Dominic Mali, both the dancer and musician can be just one person or solo performer.
The unique characteristic of Likurai dance compared to other dances is that a Likurai musician and dancer can perform a solo. In most dances, the music is played by others, dances by others. Likurai music and dance is simultaneously performed by a solo dancer, and it means two artistic activities carried out by one person.
Likurai remains the conqueror of war until now. Likurai, when performed in religious ceremony, shows that the faithful should become a hero who defeats evil. Likurai, when danced to welcome government officials, community leaders, or important visitors, show that the guests deserve respect and inspire the guest to become a hero who is ready to defend and work for the progress of the independent Belu people. While Likurai performed in a Thanksgiving event or a celebration shows that we should be grateful to the Almighty. Tens or even hundreds of women get together in Tihar language. Tihar generates sounds that evoke joy, admiration, and pride while creating a sacred atmosphere. The men who are ready to dance along will look so mighty. It could be said that Likurai is a heroic dance which essentially contains elements of violent warfare, as well as gratitude for the success, prosperity, and is the pride of Belu people.
Yeah.
Soccer Fiesta.
Did you know that in the history of the World Cup, players' hairstyles have also become iconic and unforgettable? One of them comes from David Beckham at a 2006 World Cup. With his simple yet elegant mohawk, Beckham managed to set a new trend. Barbershops across England were flooded with customers wanting to get the Beck's look. Then there is Ronaldo at a 2002 Korea-Japan World Cup. His hairstyle was truly unique, almost completely shaved, with just a small patch of hair at the front. Rumor has it, he did it to shift attention away from an injury he was dealing with. Unusual, but iconic. And of course, we can't forget Carlos Valderrama. With his signature golden blonde afro, Valderrama became one of the most recognizable players of all time. Even today, his hair remains an unmistakable part of his identity.
Soccer Fiesta.
Lima hari sudah ku rindu, tak bisa ku menghubungimu. Kau sedang dengan dirinya, sedang kita rahasia. Kapankah kau ada waktu sembunyi untuk bertemu? Baru kau sapa ku tersipu. Kau puji lupa amarahku, karena kau paling tahu cara lemahkan hatiku. Walau tak ada yang pasti, yang kau beri hanya mimpi. Lantas mengapa ku masih menaruh hati, padahal ku tahu kau telah terikat janji. Keliru ataukah bukan, tak tahu. Lupakanmu tapi aku tak mau. Baru kau sapa ku tersipu. Kau puji lupa amarahku, karena kau paling tahu cara lemahkan hatiku. Kalau tak ada yang pasti, yang kau beri hanya mimpi. Lantas mengapa ku masih menaruh hati, padahal ku tahu kau telah terikat janji. Keliru ataukah bukan, tak tahu. Lupakanmu tapi aku tak mau. Pantaskah aku menyimpan rasa cemburu, padahal bukan aku yang memilikimu. Sanggup sampai kapankah ku tak tahu. Akankah akal sehat menyadarkanku.
Thank you very much for listening to The Voice of Indonesia. And if you have something to say, you can go to our email, voalisteners@gmail.com. voalisteners@gmail.com. More from Indonesia is still available on voanews.id, application RRI Digital, and our frequencies 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. You can listen again to the Soccer Fiesta on our YouTube channel, VOI Official. I'm Steve. Thank you very much for listening. Stay tuned on RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.